you can put it in and then I'll let you know since I'm the arbiter.
Yeah. All right.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, Dynasty Football Fanatics.
At DFF underscore Madman. And Shane Manila.
Hey, shout out to the Deftones. I really appreciate them writing our new opening song. Really appreciate that.
They did it for you, man. All for you.
At DFF underscore Shane. Yeah, like you guys are all really good buddies, right?
At the Deftones, are the lead singer is actually a godfather to several of my illegitimate children.
Well, they always say it, that Shane knows everybody, so maybe that's the truth, you know? Who knows? So we're back with the show today, and we have a couple things that we wanted to talk about, and one of the big things is all the news of all the players coming back, and we have, Joe Mixon? That's the big news? Joe Mixon's coming back?
Joe Mixon's back, yeah. Yeah, he's going to be back on Sunday to restart his season, to continue his quest to be the new Le'Veon Bell while Le'Veon Bell's, you know, out on vacay.
we're settle for him being the new Gio Bernard, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, Gio Bernard stepped in for him last week, and he did really well, and then everybody's like, oh, do we need Joe Mixon? And now Gio Bernard's out.
Oh, yeah, Gio's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained MCL. So there's that.
There's that. I was just going to say that.
It was pretty funny, though. Like, you know, I'm sitting at work. I get this sleeper bot or whatever it's called now, the sleeper app or the sleeper, sleeper hold. I don't even know what it's called anymore. But the sleeper noise football news announcement thing. First, I get Joe Mixon's completely off the injury report. So he's fine. And then about 13 seconds later, that Gio was out the next 2 to 4 weeks. So did you pick up Mark Walton anywhere?
I actually drafted Mark Walton in a few of my drafts. So I already had him on a couple of rosters. And I believe, Jeremy, we did a trade, didn't we? In one of the leagues, I got Walton off of you early in the offseason.
I only own him in like a couple teams. So if I traded you, that sounds likely.
Yeah.
Traded away to you. I don't even remember that. Did I?
Yeah, I remember because I had drafted him in a couple different leagues, and usually I try to get the same guys, and I remember you and I did a trade. I don't remember what it was, but I remember we did it.
I have to look back at that. I remember I tried to offload Josh Allen to you right after I drafted him. That didn't work out too well. I wanted too much.
Yeah, mostly because I told you I was about to pick him, and then you took him. You know, it's funny with the Joe Mixon thing.
I like how you slipped that in. You made it sound like I'm a dirty dog or something. I'm always going to take a quarterback. I always draft quarterbacks.
No,
you made it seem like, oh, I did it because you wanted him. Come on.
No. But I remember your reasoning was actually pretty good because you said there was nobody else here I liked, and I might as well grab a starting quarterback or possibly one so I could do it for trade, is what you said. That was the reason you did it, because you already had like 3 or 4 different quarterbacks.
And I still have them.
Yeah, because you didn't trade them.
Nobody
yet
will offer what I want. Yeah.
You know, it's pretty funny. With Joe Mixon, though, I did see a lot of people last weekend saying, uh-oh, Gio was awesome. Is it going to be a split time? Is Mixon going to get hurt by Gio doing so well? People were talking about trading for Gio, and now Gio's out. So do you think the air's totally out of that?
I mean, I'd buy Gio if anyone wants to sell him right now. Gio should have a role on that roster, although I say that, and he had pretty much no role whatsoever week one, which was really disheartening. Week two, I'm going to look up the stats, and then as soon as I know those, I'll actually tell you what they were.
Gio doesn't usually cost that much, man. I mean, if somebody had him and I needed a back, I would definitely pick him up, especially he's out for like 4 weeks, get him back, hopefully healthy. But, you know, they only have Mixon really to worry about for now. I mean, I don't think you need to worry too much about Walton. It seemed like it was either Mixon or Bernard, at least for this season.
Well, yeah, Walton wasn't even active the first couple weeks because he doesn't play special teams. I believe this Sunday might have been his first. He was actually active one game prior to Sunday, but Sunday was the first time he touched the ball and went five attempts for 9 yards and 2 receptions for 37 yards. So he didn't, you know, turn out the lights or anything. I'm not sure that's the proper analogy there.
I was going to say, turn out the lights.
Turn on the lights. He didn't turn this mother out. That's all I know. Right. So yeah, looking at Geo stats, week one was really sad. He had 9 total yards on 2 touches. Week two was more in line with what you expected. You know, he had a running back. Just about a running back 3 week, 8.2 points, ended up as the RB 37. He had 6 carries, but he actually had 7 targets in the passing game, which is what I kind of expect from him. It's going to be Mixon's show. But anyone that was saying that the Bengals don't need Mixon, they don't have eyes. I like Gio. Gio's a nice little player, but Mixon's special. He can be special.
Yeah, and I think that's more along what it was. It was like people reacting to what was happening, and then they kind of look past the players that are there that are really good, and that's what a lot of people... I know there was a lot of trade questions on our timeline and stuff for Gio last weekend when he, like, did really well.
Well, here's the thing. I guess people, you know, Mixon himself earlier in the week didn't make it sound like he was all that sure that he was going to play. But, you know, he practiced, I believe, at least 2 days in a row. He's not on the injury report at all. So it's like his knee was never injured, right? If they take you off the report, you're perfectly fine. I guess I don't know how that injury reporting works. But, yeah, I mean, he's really had a good season so far, huh? I mean, even in week two where he didn't really do a lot, he still ended up with 9.7 points. But if you remember, that's the game that he was in and out a couple times. I think the first time he was injured, it might have been his chest or something. And then, yeah, he had a loose fragment or segment or body in his knee that was bothering the rest of the game. I'm excited to get him back because I traded for him. Like we talked about last week, I traded for him in a league. I traded for him in AB, and I'm excited to make my run with those two.
Yeah, I actually did quite a few trades this offseason for Mixon, and even in our Devi league with the main people from our site, you know, I traded for him. The only one I couldn't get him from was from you, Justin, and DL Blitz. He wouldn't trade him to me. The other one that we were talking about in the pre-show or before the show, which was kind of funny, was Josh Gordon. You know, last night there was a game, and he got 1 catch and 1 touchdown for the Patriots. Are you guys getting him, blowing him off, trading him? What are you doing with him?
I don't own him anywhere. He's a recovering addict that I'm not touching. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, by the way.
Oh, God.
I don't know how it sounded, but I don't mean it like that.
It didn't sound that way until you said it.
Oh, okay, well, good. I didn't mean it that way. But just like, you know, his demons, just they still frighten the shit out of me. So I can't touch that guy with a 10-foot pole.
But the question is he did well in that? I mean, not really well. He did 1 catch for a touchdown, so never mind. But I mean, people are saying
2 targets. Well, he had 2 targets.
But people are saying that now he's back and he's going to play with the Patriots, and you're finally going to get something out of him, and blah blah blah. And Jeremy's shaking his head no.
I used to own him a lot. I mean, one of my favorite players, but I don't own him. I don't think I own him on a single team. I'm pretty sure I don't have him anywhere. I don't want him, and. I don't really go for Patriots players. We talked about this a lot, other than Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. You know,
depending on their game planning,
what running back this quarter or, you know, this half of the year is going to be solid. What running back, is it going to be the same one next year? Is it going to be the same, you know, what receiver outside of, you know, their number one receiver underneath is going to be? It's tough to figure out who in a Belichick game plan is going to be, you know, the guy to own one from 1 week to the next. So I don't really go after the Patriots in general too much, other than the 2 big ones.
I got to be honest with you. I don't feel that way. I feel when Edelman's there, he's going to be the most targeted wide receiver. And last night he had 9 targets for 7 receptions, 57 yards. Yeah. Gronk is Gronk. You know what I mean? Like there's no thought process.
Yeah, those are the guys you want. Brady, Gronk, and Edelman. And then outside of those guys, James, I don't want anybody. So you actually agree with me because you just said you didn't want Josh.
No, you're still wrong. James White.
Well, yeah, you'd like to have the starting running back for the Patriots, but do you trade for the Patriots running backs, Sipes? I don't.
I don't usually.
I trade them away.
No, but I don't usually.
Talk about usually. we're talking about right now. Right now, it's a two-man committee. It's James White, who is going to be your receiving back largely, and Michelle, who's going to get a bulk of the carries.
I'm moving White.
And I do want to say, Shane, I was just about to admit that I might be wrong with you. I remember a month ago or so we were talking about Julian Edelman, and you were explaining to me that when that guy plays, he is the guy to have there. And I remember you were pulling stats out of your ass and everything. But last night,
right out of my butt.
You're correct, though. Last night, I mean, it's his first game back, and he really looked like that's the guy to own in that offense.
Brady's guy.
Yeah, I mean, and he's going to spread the ball around. I mean, he's got Philip Dorsett, who had a few receptions. He's got Chris Hogan. And I guess Cordell Patterson had another touchdown.
So 2 weeks high. In a row. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row for CPAT, you know?
So sell high. What a fifth-round rookie pick if you have five-round rookie drafts. But it's going to be – it's always going to be the main three to me. It's always going to be Gronk, Edelman, and whichever running back is the receiving back. And for the last, I guess, 3 years now, the receiving back has largely been James White. Now, he will disappear for stretches. But right now, with no one else there besides him and Michelle or Michelle, whatever, he knows his name. James White's an easy buy for me. I'll give up a first round rookie pick for James White.
That's a good value. I think I'm moving him. If I had him, I'd trade him away for something.
Yeah. And
do you own him in any leagues? Are you in the listener league? Do you
I don't have think him I own James White in
are
any
you
place,
in the
maybe
listener
one
league?
Place. If I did, I'd trade him to someone other than you. I think, I'm pretty sure.
I will say this, you know, we did talk about it, Jeremy. We talked about it in the past that, yeah, I wasn't really interested. But I just looked at this. Sony Michel, not only is he the main guy? I guess last week he had over 100 yards, and last night he had 98 yards. So that's 2 weeks with, you know, almost 100 yards rushing in that game. And you're right. James White had 77 yards receiving and a touchdown.
And I think he did all that damage in the first half.
Sony Michel?
If I remember correctly. No. James White. Michel. Yeah, Sony Michel ran it down their throat largely in the second half, and he looked really good.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. After 2 weeks, you know?
Guy I trade for. I'm not trading for White. Just six of one, half dozen of the other, you know, pick your poison, I guess. But I'm not saying anything's wrong with White. I mean, it's pretty obvious he's getting the load there. It's one of those kind of obvious. James White has played good football. It's an obvious thing. I don't want to own him.
Good football. Yeah, Michelle, though, you can't trade for him. I mean, that window is slammed shut now.
was going to say.
unless he comes out and fumbles two times next week and Brandon Bolden. Is Brandon Bolden still on that team? I don't know. Whoever their third running back is, you know, if he takes over for Sony Michel for a few weeks, maybe you could try to get him. I was trying, man, but the Sony Michel truthers, they weren't giving him up. They were not giving him up. And I was trying to get him because I just had this, had the feeling, but, you know, based on his skill set that he was he's going to succeed there as long as he doesn't.
Players, man, they're a premium. They're at a premium almost always. You're going to pay for those players.
It's funny
I
too.
I trade alert.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're talking about Patriots, but I did trade away Tom Terrific. One quarterback league. Okay. I traded him for Case Keenum in a second round rookie pick.
In a start one, what other quarterbacks do you have?
Well, it hurts this week. Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and now Case Keenum. And I really don't want to start Case Keenum, but I have no choice.
He's a starting quarterback. Yeah,
throw him in there. After this week, he's, you know, he'll ride the pine. But I figured, you know, a second round pick, rookie pick for a starting quarterback and a one. It's not Pat Mahomes. I'm not trading away a guy that's scoring 50 points a week.
Wait a second, though. You did trade away Pat Mahomes in the listener league.
Yeah. I'm just talking about for the price I got back.
Oh, okay.
A second round rookie pick for a quarterback in a start one QB league is a fair value.
In a start one, yeah, sure. Yeah, but you did trade Mahomes in that other league.
I did.
That was
I got Mitch Trubisky, who's had six touchdowns in one game. Just saying. Mahomes hasn't done that.
Right after you traded for him.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? We talk about the running back position, and there were some good running backs in this rookie class. And now Sony Michel is doing well and getting almost two games back to back with over 100 yards. And then Kerryon Johnson, what is he? He's the first running back for Detroit that's gotten over 100 yards in like, what, 10 years, something like that?
Yeah, since Reggie Bush in 1946, actually. So it was pretty impressive. The problem with Kerryon Johnson is his head coach is a raging fucking moron and thinks that his touch share is fine, that they should continue giving the ball to LeGarrette Blount, who's averaging something in the neighborhood of 2.7 yards per carry and is not a receiving threat. So every time he's on the field, you know what they're going to do.
Do you think that has anything to do with him being over there with the Patriots when LeGarrette Blount was with the Patriots? Is why he gives
No. I just think he's an idiot. No. He's a rocket scientist, though. But I just think, as far as a head coach, he's a moron.
I'm sure there's a reason for it. I mean, I don't know. Blount's probably adept at doing some of the things that a rookie running back can't do. Like you were just talking about, he doesn't catch the ball. He's probably in there blocking for guys who do catch the ball.
Well, which matters in real football.
What matters in real football, though, is getting more than 2.7 yards a carry and being any kind of threat in the receiving game. You put LeGarrette Blount on the field, you might as well just give the fuck up on the play.
It's a matter of time, man. Kerryon Johnson's going to get that love eventually. Now's probably a time to buy the guy.
That was what I was just about to ask you.
Pounce on that guy and purchase him, just like it is if you can get Sony Michel, because there's no way in hell James White is going to maintain half of the offensive volume that he's gotten so far. Especially now that Edelman is back and they got these other weapons and implementing sort of Josh Gordon in the offense and some other wrinkles. He's not going to maintain that pace all year. But Michel is the future.
Edelman was there last night. He hit seven.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, he did.
Dude,
you gotta stop. You gotta start looking beyond the nose at the end of your face. That was. I'm saying going forward, he's definitely not the guy that you want over Michelle.
Which one do you want next year? It's not a if this then that scenario, you doofus.
You can dipshit. When did you get a good value on James White, you knucklehead? When did you get a good price for him? Just now, today, this week? You keep talking about like James White's a value. You getting him at a value?
I don't even know what your question is at this point.
I just asked it.
At no point did I say that I want James White over Sony Michel.
They're not even comparable.
The prices aren't even comparable. Yeah, I can get James White for a second round pick or a late first round. Sony Michel, no one's trading me for a second round or a first round. No one's going to trade me. Matter of fact, I'm in anyone that's in any of my leagues with me. I will give you any first round draft pick you want for Sony Michel. I want to save anyone.
Shock and awe. You talk so much, you confuse me. I didn't really know what you were saying about James White. You just keep talking about James White like all week long. I'm actually confused about why we're talking about James White. That's all.
Let me just say one thing. So that we get back away from all of this. Shane, you were just talking about how there's nobody that would do that, and you would definitely do it for a first-round pick. That kind of leads into the next thing that we had on our sheet here, where you are saying how frustrated you are by teams that will not do trades with you when you, quote-unquote, believe that they are f***ing dead in the water. You know, and listen, I disagree with you on 0-4 being dead in the water, but that was what your point was. So go ahead.
Yes, because 0-4, you have a 4% chance of making the playoffs. I have no idea if that is correct.
I was just going to say, whatsoever. Where do you get that number from? But
I made it up, and it sounds correct to me.
All right, so I wanted you to go ahead and explain your point of why you're saying that people need to give up when they're 0-4. And then I will say what I was going to say about what you just talked about and our situation.
Our situation? We don't have a situation.
We have a situation.
Oh, there's a situation. Situation was actually sentenced to 8 months in prison today for tax evasion, for whatever that's worth. No, it's just, frustrating. And I'm not saying, sell me your young players, or in every instance, you should sell me your young players, unless I'm overpaying like I'm trying to do to you. But when you're 0-4 and I'm offering you second round rookie picks for James White or Buck Allen, you need to trade me them, because they are going to be of no use to you next year. None. You're still going to be a bad team. Get the goddamn rookie pick. Just die. Just know your role. You're 0-4. Die.
Okay, first of all, you're not specifically talking about me in that situation because I don't have those guys and you haven't asked
No. You're in the overpay situation. I'm trying to overpay you for players.
And that's my question. I don't believe that it is an overpay of what you're trying to do to me. And this is why I brought it up. I mean, I know in the Listener League with some of the people, and we talked about it on Twitter, about doing some of these trades. And I agree with you. I understand that, yes, if somebody's 0-4, maybe trade the second tier guys or third tier guys. But the offer that you're trying to trade me for, when you say you're overpaying, we're in a 16-team league, and you're sending me 2 first-round picks for Stephon Diggs. And when you send me that kind of trade off, Jeremy's shaking his head.
I'm sure he'll find a way to rationalize it and make it seem like that's the right way you should play it. But that sounds like a bad offer in that league to me.
And my opinion of it, and I understand where you're coming from, Shane, when you say, hey, you're 0-4, get something for what you're trying to get. But especially in a 16-team league and the 2 picks that you're offering me, based on if you're saying 0-4 is out of it, then 3-1 and 4-0 are guys that are going to be at the top. You're sending me essentially the 10th or to the 16th pick for Stephon Diggs. And
I'm sorry, I don't have worse picks.
No, but
I did also. But there was also offers set out there where I'm trying to give you. Let's just say, well, we might as well just talk shop.
Yeah.
So I'm offering you a 2019 first from, I don't know, one of the 2-2 teams.
No, they're 3-3. All three of the firsts you have are
all 3-3. I'm
3-1. Sorry, 3-1. All three of your first round picks are all 3-1 teams.
Okay, well then, and a 2019 second, and a 2020 first for Kenny Golladay.
Okay, so now that's the thing, and part of the reason why the offer is still up there is, like you threw out to me, a challenge to send you a counter, and that I will do, and I will look at it. But I just wanted to say this whole thing about the 0-4 being out of it. I don't 100% believe that if a team is 0-4, when we still have 9 more games to play, that you're not essentially out of it. And in a 16-team league, if Stephon Diggs is so good, or, okay, say you're talking about Kenny Golladay is so good, to trade for 2 first-round picks next year, you're hoping that one of those two maybe might be almost as good as the guy you're giving up. I don't understand how you think that should definitely be a trade that's done.
Trash Dynasty trade offer, sponsored in part by Shane Manila. We just talked about it.
First of all, I created Trash Dynasty trade offers.
Yeah, and you offered one to Mike just now.
So I will be the arbiter that gets to decide if this is an actual Dynasty
trade offer. Like you created DJ Moore as the wide receiver one. I remember that.
Yeah,
we'll go back to the Travis May episode, and we'll see what you had to say about him then. Never mind, man. I'm just busting your balls.
Okay. So anyway, since I created that hashtag, and it's again patent pending, I am gonna say that this is not a Trash Dynasty trade offer. It is more a trade offer that would need some massaging on my part for you to accept.
Okay, cool.
Jesus.
I just wanted to be clear because I know that there's a lot of people, I deal with it a lot, where people tell me, oh, I'm done, I'm over. And to me, I just never get that feeling. I never want to just give up. I want to do some moves and do something to try to keep myself in it. I get maybe when you're, say, 0-6 or 0-7, but 0-4, I still feel, no matter what you say about it being a 4% chance, I still feel like there is a chance. You could do a run, you could do something. And
yeah, I agree. In this league, as shallow as the waiver wire is, nobody's strong across the board at any position, you could definitely make it to the championship game. I mean, it's possible if other teams have injuries and things go south. I respect that you're not tanking, that you're actually still trying to win for a while.
Thank you.
And not just giving up already. I mean, no, that's what I would do, too. It's a little early to fucking cash it in, isn't it?
Well,
I don't respect that. I wish you would mind your business.
I do want to say,
we're talking about trades, man. Your trades count.
I do want to say one thing.
I respect you for trying to get more than you should get for those picks.
Yeah, and of course. And I don't resent you at all. But I will say this. It is kind of funny what you say, Jeremy, because one of the other things that happens, especially in a league this big, is if you look at the rankings, like everybody's 3-1, 3-1. Most of the league is 3-1, and a lot of the rest of the league is 1-3, and then I'm 0-4, and so is one other team. But the funny thing about all of it is, if you look at the points, I'm only like 30 points behind you, Shane. So it sometimes in some of these leagues, it falls down to, you know, you get the bad beats and you have the bad head-to-heads. So the only point that I wanted to make for the people that are listening is, just because you're 0-4, it doesn't mean that you're completely out of it. You may have had some bad matchups or whatever, and there's still a chance that things can turn your way, you know?
No, you should definitely be looking at your play-all record, because that's going to give you a better indicator if you have a good team or not. Because there's a couple leagues where, like you were just saying, there's leagues, a league or two, that I'm 0-4 in, and I'm one of the top four scorers. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. God hates me. and then you know, there's another league specifically that I'm thinking of where I'm 3-1 and I actually have 200 points less than the next least scoring team. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe God doesn't hate me, but he definitely does. But no, your point's taken, and I understand, and I made you another offer. So maybe we'll have a trade alert for the episode.
Yeah, that would be cool. Maybe we would. And I do want to say, too, with the people that are out there, you know, yes, every league is different. And if you know for sure your team is not any good and you can do some moves. My other point that I had, especially with the league like this, is when you say to trade a player to get future assets, if the player is the best player on your team, or one of the best players, I feel like I should hold on to that player and hopefully build a team over the next year or two or three or whatever that would be a contending team. If I gave away Stephon Diggs to get the 15th and the 16th pick, it just seemed to me like it doesn't help, is all I was saying.
Well, I got that, but there's also the fact that you have no picks through the next decade.
I have none. You're right.
For the next decade.
Not necessarily the decade, but yes, next year I traded away every one of my picks. That is true. Yes. But I just thought with a 16 team, I thought that was the way to go. But
no, honestly, in a 16 team league, that's the way to play it, I think, to be honest with you.
It's so hard. It's so hard. But all right, cool. Well, that was one of the things that I wanted to discuss with you. And yeah, maybe we will have a trade. I'll look at what you just sent me. Before we go on to the next segment, why don't we hear from our sponsors, gtbets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
So, guys, go into that GTBets. Make sure you use that Trades HQ in the referred by field. If you don't, you're probably stupid, because they're matching. Well, I'm just saying, they're matching you. They're matching what? Up to 50%? Is it 100%? Whatever it is, it's a lot. It's free money. So, I mean, anyone that listens to this show, obviously, they're not stupid. So I would assume they'd all go on there tonight and do that. I actually I put some money on the Colts last night. Yeah, well, I thought it'd be fun to go ahead and just pick the Colts outright. And
good.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was like 4-1 odds. I put down 20. I would have won 80, but they didn't do well. They did not do well.
And there was no points or nothing? It was just straight?
I took them. Well, I also, I also lost that bet too. I didn't want to bring that up. I also took the Colts giving up 10, which they also did not cover. So,
Well, when you talk about our listeners being smart and yes, and it's funny when you say the people that aren't listening are dumb. I mean, they're not going to hear it, so they're not going to hear you say that. But
you're well played.
No, but you know what? What someone should do is tell anyone that doesn't listen to our podcast that they're stupid.
I don't care.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell them that Shane said. So, but the other people that we really love too is our Patreons. And actually this week we had a Patreon question that we were going to discuss, correct?
Patrons, huh? Patrons are the best. You know why? They get the additional podcast episodes. They get the bonus ones. They get the not safe for work ones. Definitely not safe around your children. I don't need anyone's wives calling me up again saying that their children never heard the word jit bag until they listened to our show.
Wait, there was also a good one. Justin, who just had a baby. His wife just had a baby, and he told us it's also not safe for hospitals.
Not safe for hospitals. Yeah, no, I think from what I understand, my voice and the things I say aren't safe for really any environment.
No, it's not that bad. But we do have a Patreon question from our very own Brian Heiser. And he wanted to ask us a question. He wanted to know, a guy put Bell on the block, and he was thinking of trying to get him for a championship run. So it's a 14-team Superflex. He's 3-1 right now. So he was thinking of offering Kerryon Johnson and a first for Le'Veon Bell. And he wants to know what you guys think. Is that too much? Would you recommend him doing that? What do you guys think about?
I'm going to say go ahead and offer that immediately if you think you're going to win a championship. Looking at his roster, he's got some decent players. Like, his wide receiver core isn't really bad at all. He's got Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Taywan Taylor, who we all love. We Woo-hoo! Love him a lot.
Very much so.
And Mike Thomas, who is just a beast stud man. Yeah, and he'd be pairing Saquon Barkley with Lev Bell. Now, there are some holes in his roster. He does roster Tyler Irvin, which is never a good thing. Never a good thing.
But it is a 14-team league. Remember that.
Yeah, so. It is a 14-team. So, yeah, 14-team, 16-team leagues, you are going to do some things that you feel dirty about. Matter of fact, I saw someone in our league today pick up Kenneth Farrow. He's not even on a roster.
I do see Brian has Ralph Webb running back on his roster, too.
Is that a real person?
Look at it. It says Ralph Webb, free agent running back.
Okay, that's a real person. I'm going to say you make this trade. Look, championship windows aren't big. If you think you can win it and you have a decent enough team to do so, I say go for it. I love Kerryon. I love first-round rookie picks, but I love Lev Bell better. More better.
Well, you know, and it is funny. We didn't even touch on that. When we started the show tonight, we talked about Mixon being back. But one of the big stories that is going around is that Bell is saying, hey, I'm coming back. I'm coming back on the bye week for the Steelers. And we totally didn't even touch on that. What are you guys thinking about Bell coming back? And obviously, if you're recommending that Brian does this trade, you think that Bell coming back is going to be an asset.
Well, why don't we get Jeremy's thoughts on the trade first?
Well, I'm watching Jeremy shake his head. So what do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, win now team, go for Bell. But that was my thought. Is he coming back in week 8 or is he coming back next week? I mean, when's he coming back? Because, you know, Kerryon Johnson is playing now. I mean, the first is not helping. But, I mean, you know, I like that trade regardless. Bell better than the first and, you know, Kerryon Johnson, no matter out of context, just straight up anytime. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Is he coming back week 8? Do you guys know when he's coming back? I didn't hear anything.
He said he's coming back after week 7.
Yeah, what was said in the media was that he was going to come back on the bye week. And then I heard on the radio, you know, they were like, well, if he's really smart or if his agent's really smart, he should have came back the Saturday night before week 6 because then he'd get another paycheck. There is the whole point of him coming back after not being around, not practicing, not doing whatever he's been doing. Who knows? We've seen him on stage singing. We've seen him doing partying and all this kind of stuff. Even if he does come back week 7 in the bye and he starts in week 8, is he going to be the Le'Veon Bell that you want him to be in week 8?
Maybe not week 8, but week 9, 10, 11.
So 12, playoffs, yeah, you 13, think a playoff run for 14. A win for a team that's winning.
So we're week five. So you're saying that Brian would give up the production that he'd get for Kerryon Johnson for week five, week six, week seven, and week eight, but then get Bell week 9 through 13.
Yeah, and he didn't send us his starting requirements, which, you know, he probably should have.
yeah, Brian, make sure you do that next time.
Looking at his quarterbacks here, I'm assuming it's a super flex.
Yeah, he's got Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Also, his question, he actually says it's a 14-team super flex. So I'm going to go under the assumption that it is a super flex league.
I like how Jeremy just highlighted it and bolded that on the show sheet. But yeah.
No, I actually did that. But no, yeah.
It said Jeremy.
So it's a super flex.
Yeah,
so
I just did it too. It didn't show up as highlighted here. But go ahead, Shane.
So he's got Pat Mahomes. He's got Cam Newton. And he's got Aaron Rodgers. If he really needs a running back, there's somebody in that league that's hurting for a starting quarterback. I would trade one of them for a lesser tier, much lesser tiered quarterback, someone like Joe Flacco, maybe Mitch Trubisky, whatever, and get a starting running back thrown in.
Yeah,
if he only has to start one, he's got Barkley, but if he has to start more than one, I mean, it's not really a great representative group of running backs there. He's got to wait until week 8 or 9 to get Bell in there.
It's a horrible group of running backs. Now, he does have Duke Johnson, who saw his most targets of the season last week with 6 or touches, I forget, but either way, it's not good. But I mean, look, this is a trade you're going to make. You're going to need to do something else if you do need to start two running backs, because his wide receivers are stacked. He's fine there, and his tight ends, he's got Vance McDonald. He's fine. He can get a running back with those quarterbacks. He can make a move to get them and still have two really strong quarterbacks. Even if he were to trade Jesus himself, Patrick Mahomes. he'd still be in good shape with Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Like, he's got 3 top 10 quarterbacks.
So that's awesome. So good luck, Brian. You know, hope you do well and let us know how that works out. I know he's
now I will say this. If the guy wants anything else from you, though, you can't make that trade because you don't really have the depth unless that other thing is like Jamison Crowder or Chris Conley.
It is funny because you're right, because even in the listener league, you don't really realize it. We're in so many leagues that we do, and a 16 team is very difficult, but it is a big difference when you are in a league where it's a start 2 running backs or a start 1 running back with, say, 4 flexes. You know, when you have to start 2 running backs, you need to have 2, at least. I mean, because I know that's one of the things that's killing me in that listener league. I have 2 running backs, and one of them is Chris Carson. So when he's not playing, I'm kind of screwed.
Don't worry. He's fine. He's going to be back this week, and him and Mike Davis are going to form a nice running back committee. And Rashad Penny, he's going to focus on kick returning because Pete Carroll's a idiot.
That is a real screwed up situation there. That is definitely for sure. So before we go on to you want me to say stick or flip?
Not like that, because it was all creepy old man-ish.
So then how about you say it? Stick or flip?
Well, now it's all in my head, all creepy like that.
Well, before you say stick or flip, let's hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
All right, guys. It's what everyone's been waiting for. Stick or flip.
Yeah, that sounds better than creepy old guy, which that sucks that I'm creepy old guy. All right, so the first guy that we had on Stick or Flip is Mike Williams. And, I mean, he's a guy that everybody's asking, do I keep him? Do I trade for him? Do I move him? Last year he sucked. He didn't do anything. And this year he's looking pretty good. So what are you guys doing? Jeremy, what are you doing with Mike Williams?
I don't own him anywhere, so I'm not doing anything with it.
But are you trying to get him, or do you think it's an anomaly and he's not any good?
No, I'm not the biggest fan. I mean, having this on the sheet is good because I honestly don't know what you do with Mike Williams. If he's going to be, you know, one of the two starters there, he definitely looks good. There's no doubt he looks good. I just don't know what to do with him. I don't know what I expect out of him. If I thought he was going to be, you know, somebody like Taywan Taylor, I already like, and I think he can develop into something, you know, really great, I'd go after him. I'm just Mike Williams is like, I don't know, man. He's like vanilla or white bread or something. It just don't really.
Shane, do you agree with that assessment? I know Jeremy. That's part of the reason why he was on the show sheet, because Jeremy's trying to figure out what to do with him. What do you think, Shane?
So, yeah, Mike Williams is a tough nut to crack. He's a tough road to hoe, or however the saying is. No, I don't really know.
A tough road to hoe.
He's a tough hoe to ride. But wait.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Jeremy. I like Mike Williams. The problem is his snap share is all over the place. 60% one week, 72% the other, 68% the next week. His routes run, he's got 30, then 15, then 24 and 25, which is, you know, that's all pretty decent. His targets just it's I hate this. It's every other game he gets a decent amount of targets. He's gone 6-2, 7-3. Like I can't live in that world. That world hurts me. I need at least 5 targets a week, you know? It just give me at least 5. Like let that be the floor. All that said, I do still like Mike Williams. I would buy, so I'd be sticking him. And sticking him hard.
How many receptions does he have?
Right now, he has 12 receptions in 4 games.
90% of those, over 90% of those receptions have gone for first downs. So if your league awards points for first downs,
which
apparently he's
do.
The guy to get, man.
I will say this. I just thought it was funny when you said you'd stick him hard. But I think the way that some of these players are going and some of the teams, with a team like the Chargers, you know, Keenan Allen obviously is the wide receiver number one there. But he's also not a healthy wide receiver every single week. So there are going to be games where you miss out on Keenan Allen. And I think that Mike Williams actually looks impressive enough to me that for fantasy-wise, I would like him. I would trade for him. I do see what you're saying, though. He's kind of, I wouldn't want to say boom or bust because the sample size is so small. But in PPR, like week one, he has 14 points. Week two, he has 8. Week three, he has 21. Week four, he has 3. So it's kind of up and down there. So for me, if I don't have him, I wouldn't mind trying to get him. Now, I wouldn't give multiple first-round picks for him, but I would trade for him. If I had him, I kind of think that depending on your roster and depending on if you need a wide receiver, I would probably hold on to him is what I would do.
Yeah,
so he's a stick.
Yeah, so he's a stick. Exactly. So the next one we had on here, which is, I don't know, lots of people want to know this, and it's very difficult to pick Sammy Watkins. It's so hard because, again, the same thing that's happened year after year happened again this week. Sammy Watkins last week has an amazing game. This week he goes out there, and in the first quarter he's on the sideline with an injury. So what are you guys doing with Sammy Watkins?
I'm gonna stick him much harder than I stuck Mike Williams, and I'm still training for him. Look, dude, Sammy's got 2 weeks double digit scoring. He was a wide receiver 21 in week 2. He was a wide receiver 15 in week 3. If he wasn't injured, you know, immediately last week, he already had a red zone target. I'm feeling pretty good about the guy. He's already got 4 red zone targets through basically what, 3 games and 1 quarter. He's going to get targets. He's got at least 5 in all the games that he's made it out of the first quarter. I'm definitely sticking. I think Mahomes is a good quarterback for him to be with. I think Tyreek Hill on the other side and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt. I just think that offense is really good, and Sammy's going to benefit from that. And I kind of hope he takes this week off and lets that hamstring heal so it doesn't linger all year. But he's sticking.
I think the most important part of what you said is if he's playing, if he's healthy, if he's out there. Jeremy, what do you want to do with Sammy? Or again, is this another one you're not sure?
I mean, I think the price is still right to get Sammy Watkins in a lot of, you know, in a lot of cases, because people are so dejected by Sammy Watkins. So he might be present an opportunity to buy at a value. But I mean, if I have him, I'm not trading him away. I mean, I stick with him too. He's not, you know, his points. What is he, like wide receiver 50 or something? I don't know. I mean, I think you said something. Trying to figure that out right now, but he doesn't have the points yet, but he does have the, you know, the targets. He's like wide receiver 47, I think, in PPR. You got to stick with him, man. You drafted that guy probably high, right? And you're not going to get anything out of him if you trade him while his value is like this. But he presents a good buy, I think, for me.
I think for me, I did buy Sammy a lot in his rookie year in a lot of my leagues. He was my first pick. That was the pick I was getting him, and I have him in a couple leagues. And right now, I'm happiest with this team that he's with. I wasn't thrilled what happened with him in Buffalo. You know, I think right now in Kansas City, it's a great spot for him. I just hate the fact that he gets hurt all the time, you know, and it is funny. No matter what we said about Mike Williams, if you look at Sammy in the last 4 weeks, the first game he had 5 points, but then he had 19 points and he had 17 points. So, you know, he's getting the points there. It's just, he's got to be out on the field. So I agree with you that I would stick with him, but I think I would trade for him too if people want to move him, because there might be some people out there that are really disappointed in the injuries.
Here's the thing. I think the world is breaking into, and if it's not already there, it's slowly, or it's finally going to set up there where there's either you love Sammy, much like Amari Cooper, either you own him and love him, or you hate him. And it's going to be all us guys that own them and love them, you know, are going to own every share of them. And then the other half of the world that hates him is going to tell us why he's garbage. But up until, you know, the hamstring, which can happen to anyone, by the way, and he doesn't have a history of hamstring issues that I remember. And he was healthy all last year, except for the one game when he was concussed. He played 15 games last year. I still think he's going to have a very, very successful season. So I'll buy on him. I'm with you, Mike. If anyone's selling on him, like, oh, Sammy's injured again, all right, I'll buy him from you.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a good thing, you know, buy low, right? I mean, the thing is the people that are stuck in the Sammy's either A or Sammy's B, you know, what side are you? They probably paid a lot for him.
Yeah.
They probably drafted him high, so they're disappointed in that. But if you can get the guy at a good value, I mean, what's his value to you? I mean, you could probably get fair value trading for him and having him on your team. He's fine. He's not the Sammy Watkins that you draft with a first-round pick or anything like that, but he could be valuable to me. I own him in one league across MFL. I own him on, as far as I can tell, I have him on one team. And there's like 34 rosters I'm looking at here. So that presents an opportunity for me to buy Sammy. Just one case. Because obviously I wasn't really high on him to begin with. But his cost now, he's affordable. I might be able to get him at what is a decent return on investment. So that's the kind of stuff I do. I mean, I don't, you know, love or hate Sammy. What can he help me out at a decent price?
All right, Michael Sipes.
All right. What?
We need you to make a determination if you're going to accept this offer. Two first-round rookie picks, and the Juice Howard, who was a tight end one, OJ, for Stephon Diggs.
Okay, so that is the trade offer that you have now put on the table for me, right?
And I looked at your tight ends.
Yes.
They are not good.
Right.
They are not good.
I know. I have a bunch of tight ends, too, man, and that's not the only position I have depth at all.
Oh, God. I get where you're coming from, and I just have a hard time moving Stephon Diggs. But what about Kenny Golladay?
For the same offer I will accept.
Should I do that, Jeremy?
Oh, wait, that sounded like it was an offer, didn't it, Jeremy?
No, I was
he's asking. Offering you two firsts and a tight end, OJ Howard, for Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
You don't have any picks? So that would give you
I have nothing.
None. He has none at all.
Okay. It gives you a top 16 pick and a really, really freaking deep roster, deep team league. Two top 32 picks and OJ Howard for your receiver. You're starting Golladay every week, yeah?
I do, yes.
And who else do you have?
Who else do I have?
Besides Diggs, I know.
I have Diggs, Galladay. I have DJ Moore, Jordan Matthews, Cordarrelle
Patterson. Tavon Austin.
Cordarrelle Patterson, Tavon Austin.
Did you start Cordarrelle Patterson, by the way?
Unfortunately, I did not start him.
And who did you start? I just need to know who you started over Cordell.
Yeah, yeah. Look. What was really funny is I went to my, I was like, yes, CPAT scored. And then I went and I was like, oh, I didn't start him. But I did have, I had Stephon Diggs, Kenny Galladay, and Jordan Matthews as my wide receivers in there. And Jordan Matthews scored last week, so maybe he'll score.
He did.
Yeah, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, what's funny is 2 weeks in a row now he has scored. And you're right. My tight ends, I've got Jimmy Graham and Max Williams and some other things. So,
and Max, you know what sucks about Max Williams is it finally looks like the guy's putting it together in what, his fourth year now? Fourth or fifth year? And he's doing it in time for Hayden Hurst to come and take his job. But Max Williams, for the first time in his life, or I should say his first time in his NFL career, he looks like a good receiver. He looks like the guy that we thought he was going to be 4 years ago. Now he's going to lose his job because they've already tried to replace him with two other guys.
Well, now, what do you think about with Jimmy Graham? What are you guys thinking with Jimmy Graham?
He's Jimmy Graham. He should be a touchdown threat, right?
Yeah.
In this league, he's the 10th tight end in this league, points-wise.
Well, he's probably, I think he's the tight end 10 overall, probably, in PPR.
Is that who you have, Blitz?
That's who I have. That's my tight end right now. So I'd be getting O.J. Howard with Jimmy Graham. And O.J. Howard... Oh, well, O.J. Howard's number 8. So they actually, I'm looking at it right now, they're actually 2-point difference between the two of them.
Yeah, O.J. Howard had to leave a game early.
Yeah,
so I know, you need a hurt tight end.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're sending me a hurt tight end. I forgot about that.
Maybe I could give you Eric Ebron for Kenny Galladay. Same kind of.
So, Shane, it looks like we can have some kind of information going back and forth. Look, this is kind of what happens when you do something on the fly like this. I would much rather have Ebron right now than O.J. Howard, but
I would much rather have a wide receiver outside of DeSean Jackson because I really don't have anybody else. Well, that's like my one guy,
and that's my main problem. Look, we just ran over my roster. Oh, Shane just sent me another offer. but wait, you changed it. You changed it from 2 firsts to a first and a second for Kenny Galladay. Well,
I gotta say, you sounded really, really receptive to that offer when Jeremy was offering it to you. So I figured I'd send it over and see what happened.
The funny part is, like you guys said, you went over my wide receivers. I've got Stephon Diggs and Kenny Galladay. And then my next best one is Cordarrelle Patterson. So,
you need to build some depth.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If
I
two top 16 picks. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'd have to go wide receivers with those two top 16 picks, you know.
And it's a very good wide receiver draft, from what I understand.
You know, and I did have an offer today from somebody, which I turned down, but I might have to go back to it, where somebody sent me an offer for Jimmy Graham. So if I did do a trade with you guys, one of the two of you guys, I would trade Jimmy Graham away. So
I have sent you another offer.
Oh, okay.
Now, I noticed now he's not even telling you what they are. He's like, fuck the show. I'm just going to go ahead. I want to make this trade happen, so I'm not going to say what I'm doing.
I will say this. I do really like Kenny Galladay. What is the deal with O.J. Howard? He is hurt and he's out, right? Or is he not out?
He's out for probably another week. Well, obviously, they're going to buy this week.
Listen.
He might miss next week.
I love you very much.
Like, I'll be back the week after.
Yeah, well, if you click on his name, it says out 4 weeks with MCL sprain.
Everybody's out 4 weeks with an MCL sprain. That's what everyone says. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah. My wide receivers suck, but then I looked at yours, Sipes, and they're not that much better. I have DeSean Jackson, Marvin Jones, Keelan Cole. Those are like my starters, and then a bunch of bodies. Danny Amendola, Cole Beasley, Kendrick Bourne, Curtis Samuel, probably never do anything. Old ass Mike Wallace. But I looked at your receiving core, and I mean, it's a little bit better, but not much.
Well, let me say this. Let's go on to our last segment. And Shane, I'm going to think about this while we do our last segment. And our last segment is a segment that people seem to enjoy. And we really like doing it because it's kind of fun. So what I do is I pull out some of the trade offers that have been asked to us on our Twitter account, which is Dynasty Trades HQ. If you guys have any trade offers or any questions you guys want, you know, send it over to us and we'll answer it, or we'll retweet your poll, or we'll share it with everybody so that other people will vote on it. But we have a couple of these polls here that I wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought without you guys knowing about it. And one of the things that we did not talk about, again, we said how we didn't talk about Bell coming back, and we did talk about Mixon coming back, but there is another running back that's coming back this week that at least he's off of suspension, which we haven't mentioned, is Mark Ingram with the Saints. Mm-hmm. You know, his suspension is over, and I do believe he has a bye next week, though, right? But he's going to be able to come back and play. So we actually got quite a few questions from some of our listeners and followers on our Dynasty Trades HQ Twitter handle with trades for Mark Ingram. And one of them is, we got a question. Somebody asked us, would you rather have Melvin Gordon or Mark Ingram and Kenny Galladay?
Man, that's so team specific right there.
Unfortunately, most of these things are team specific. So if we're going to tell the people listening, yes, it is team specific always, but in a vacuum, in a general value sense of players, what do you
Melvin
think?
Melvin Gordon, he's a top five running back right now. The target level that he's seeing in the receiving game or in the passing game is really high. He's still getting the bulk of the carries there. I love Kenny Galladay. I love Mark Ingram, but Mark Ingram is soon to be 30 with a lot of wear and coming up on free agency. So who knows where he's going to be next year. I will take Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, Shane actually got this one right. this is a chance for a team. This is a chance for a team to get a blue chip guy, kind of like, you know, you get Antonio Brown, you get Melvin Gordon, you get somebody that's marginally better, and you know, a starter too. I mean, Melvin Gordon's the undisputed guy, right, for the Chargers. But you get somebody that's marginally better in those spots: Gronkowski at tight end, Antonio Brown at your wide receiver one spot, Melvin Gordon at running back. I mean, getting Ingram and the wide receiver, I like them both. That would be, you know, two good players to have, but the upside and everything else is on the Melvin Gordon side. You can replace Galladay with another receiver, and Ingram is definitely on the down, you know, the downslope of his career. So
right now, Melvin with Gordon. that poll's going, it's got like over 200 votes, and it's 73% for Melvin Gordon. Do you guys think that the way that Alvin Kamara is playing right now through four games is going to affect what's going to happen with Ingram when he finally gets back?
I just know they'll use Ingram. They're definitely going to use him. They always have. I mean, I think they need him. He gives them a lot of options in that offense as well. I don't know how much they're going to use him. Do I think Alvin Kamara's points or, you know, fantasy points are going to decline?
Yeah. Are they going to pull Kamara back at all? Or are they going to keep riding him the way they're riding him?
I don't know. We should call up the coach.
What do you think, Shane?
I can't even pretend to know what Sean Payton's going to do. He's already seems to have a chip on his shoulder when it comes to Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the past, he's shown that he can be petty. Like Willie Snead, when he came back last year, who, you know, prior to being suspended was a starting wide receiver and came back to like a 30% snap share or whatever he saw. It wasn't good.
Right.
Mark Ingram's obviously a different pedigreed player than Willie Snead. You're just hurting yourself, really, if you don't play Mark Ingram. I'm going to think that common sense prevails and he will run Mark Ingram out there, and it'll probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of a 55-45 split with him and Kamara. But the beauty about them is that they both can be on the field at the same time because they're both so versatile.
Well,
yeah, it's interesting too, Sipes. You know, last year, the season finished in PPR scoring with, I had to look this up, Kamara in third place with 302 points and Mark Ingram in sixth place with 267 points. Both of them were in the top six. So if that's any indication of how they might, you know, do that, I wouldn't expect Kamara's value to, you know, decrease by much, if anything, but, you know.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. And eventually players are just what they are. And we all kept waiting for Kamara's hyper efficiency to, you know, regress to the mean. That's not happening. he's just, you know, like Tyreek Hill. He's a guy that I missed on because I kept waiting for his hyper efficiency to regress to the mean, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen 3 years in. And that's the type of player that Kamara apparently is.
Well, we did have another question from another listener that asked us again with Mark Ingram, but this is a combo. It's a four player deal. So you have Mark Ingram and Mike Evans.
And then, write this down.
Yeah, it's Mark Ingram and Mike Evans. But then the other side is David Johnson and Cooper Kupp.
Oh.
So, I mean, David Johnson, there's a lot of people that are really down on David Johnson, especially for the price that they paid to get David Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's what it is, and their expectations of what he should be.
Exactly. And then the opposite thing is Cooper Kupp is exceeding a lot of people's expectations. And then on the other side, you've got Mike Evans, who's Mike Evans, and he's been playing pretty awesome. And then you've got the question mark of Mark Ingram. So which side are you going to take, Jeremy?
Well, I mean – this is how I'm looking at it. Ingram and Evans, you're probably going to do better with them in the short term based on how Arizona's playing right now. So, I mean, I'd have to think about that part of it. I like the David Johnson Cooper Kupp side better. You know, I think the stagnation with David Johnson in Arizona, I don't think he suddenly sucks. So I prefer the David Johnson and Cooper Kupp side based on Kupp in the offense there, Johnson knowing what he is, but I would not be surprised at all if Ingram and Evans outscore the other two, you know, this season in fantasy points. You know, that wouldn't shock me. It probably would happen.
Shane?
So, I already know that most of fantasy Twitter and podcast, Dynasty podcasts, are going to disagree with me here, but they can get it off.
But nice.
Really? I think,
yeah. That bad?
Yeah. I think Mike Evans is the best player in this just trade.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everyone that doesn't agree, they can suck it about how he does it.
Oh, he doesn't. Why would you say that, man? I mean, everybody's got an opinion.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, they're no. All opinions are valid, even when they're wrong. But just
do you think people are down on Evans? With me.
I just hear a lot about how, all he does is catch the ball and fall down. All right, whatever.
What's his fantasy points?
He's scoring 22.1 points a game. Let's just say 22 points. It's so much sounds better. He's the number three wide receiver on the season. And people will be like, oh, he's target dependent. And I'll just to that, I shall retort. You mean like DeAndre Hopkins? Like every receiver that's any good? So anyway, I'm going to take the Mike Evans and Mark Ingram side, but it's closer than I'm making it sound because I would really love to buy me some DJ right now, and Kupp is balling out and it's hard to pass on him after what he just did last week. But
I'd love to take advantage of David Johnson right now. All the people that want to trade him away, I'd love to be able to get him.
Yeah, I don't even know what, because he's not a player that I've ever bought into, I shouldn't say that I've ever bought into, that he's just not a player I've ever owned because I wasn't willing to pay the cost for him.
Right,
I don't
right.
even know, like, I look at leagues and, you know, rosters, I'm like, I don't even know what to formulate, like, is this going to be insulting, is this too much, but yeah, DJ is a guy, if someone offers me him, and I think it's a fair trade, I'm definitely going to pounce on it.
Yeah, we'd make good trade partners in that one. I'd give you Ingram and Evans. You'd give me David Johnson and Cooper Kupp. And again, it's one of those trades where I always say this because I don't trade as actively as Shane does. I think everybody knows that. A part of it's probably because I draft better, but I don't want to get into that. But the point I'm making is, like, if I had either side of this, that would be one of the things where I'd probably just hold. If I had Ingram and Evans, I like them both. I'm confident in that, I'd probably keep it. And if I had Johnson and Kupp, I'd probably do the same thing. I don't know that I'd make either of these moves. So it is so close to me that, you know, it was tough to pick a side.
Yeah, and it's funny for me, like Shane said, to me, Evans is the best player in this deal. I have said it in the offseason. I'm not a big fan of David Johnson. Cooper Kupp, you're right. He's balling. He looks awesome. But right now, I would go with the Evans and hope that the Mark Ingram part helps me out. The thing is Twitter doesn't agree with Shane or I. They do agree with Jeremy, and it's 65% wants the DJ Cooper Kupp side.
Yeah, well, hey, that's not usually what happens with me, man. Nobody's slobbing my knob on Twitter when I have an opinion. So that's it's surprising to know I agree with the masses for a change.
Well, here's the thing. Most of Dynasty Twitter loves Cooper Kupp because he's white. What?
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it. Oh, okay. All right, that's not it. No, I mean, you know, he's scrappy and very gritty. No, you know, he's a small school prospect, and
that's why I like
him. We root for underdogs, and the fact that he's white probably helps. But also there is a pretty, I feel like, at least from what I see on Twitter and listen to a podcast, that Mike Evans is not, I think, more highly of him than most of our brethren.
Me too. And even back to when he was a rookie, I loved him. I love that video that showed him almost getting into a fight out in South Beach that year, but whatever, that's fine. All right. So cool. So we did have two more, and one of them is one of these type of things where, for Shane and for the people that listen to this, they know how much he loves one of these two players, but it's a very, very hard choice, at least for me. So I'd like to see what you guys think. So somebody is telling me that in their offer, they're asking us what we believe and what we think in a 12-team PPR, and it's Michael Thomas for Saquon Barkley straight up.
Saquon Barkley.
Michael Thomas. Was going to be your answer. All right, and then Jeremy goes right to Michael Thomas.
Again, see, Shane, we actually can get along. We would make great trade partners much of the time.
And this one is so much closer than some of these other ones. With over 300 votes here right now, it's Michael Thomas at 53 and Saquon Barkley at 47. So it's almost 50-50.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. Two great players. I mean, what are you going to do?
Exactly. That's one of those you're making based off need. Like, I have no good wide receivers. You have no good running backs. Me and you should get married and have a baby.
Yeah, and arguably the best at each at the position, going one way and the other. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
We will name our baby Saquon Thomas.
All right. So Michael great. Barkley. So the last one we have here is a very
interesting. I thought you said the last one was the last.
No, I did. I did not. I said
feel like you're stalling.
I said there was two. I said there was two. And that one, I knew that one was going to be quick. But this is another one where, Shane, you need your pen and paper. But this also goes along with pretty much the theme we talked about all night. We've mentioned James White a lot tonight. And we did mention Le'Veon Bell. And we did mention Kamara. So this is one of those kind of deals where it's actually a big kind of package here.
I'll give you a big package.
Yeah. So one side is giving Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard, James White.
Oh, slow down. Le'Veon Bell.
Jordan Howard.
Okay.
James White and Cameron Brate.
Oh, okay. Well, he doesn't matter. But
right,
okay.
Exactly. And the other side, and this is a 12-team, one quarterback league. The other side is Kamara, Mitchell Trubisky, and Lindsey.
But why is Trubisky involved?
I don't know, but that's the part of the trade.
You say it's a super flex
it's
league?
Not a, it doesn't say super flex. It just says 12-team league, and it says it's a half-point PPR. So you've got Le'Veon Bell, James White, and Jordan Howard for Kamara, Trubisky, and Lindsey. If you say Cameron Brate, doesn't matter.
I don't know why Trubisky's involved unless all the quarterbacks are owned and yours just got shot.
Exactly. And it doesn't. Right. The only comment that he tells us is trading away Kamara with a question mark.
That's cryptic.
Yeah, that's cryptic. All he said. So what do you guys think? Are you hold on to Kamara and Lindsey, or do you want Bell, Jordan, and James White?
I don't care.
I can't say I don't care because
it would probably be Kamara and Trubisky get some Lindsey. But honestly, that guy's giving away Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard, James White, Cameron Brate to get Trubisky. Yeah, I don't know.
To get
man.
Kamara and Lindsey.
The fact that Trubisky's even in this is my mind up because I'm wondering why there has to be meaning behind,
because context matters, and so the first thing is why, and then the details, right?
Okay, well,
why am I trading?
He told us it's 12 team half point PPR, and should he trade away Kamara? That's all he's asking us.
I mean, that's a pretty good haul. I wouldn't be stoked about having to even add to the Kamara side, to be quite honest with you, though. I'm going to take the Lev Bell, Jordan Howard, James White, and for whatever f-ing reason, Cameron Brate side.
I like Cameron.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, Brate puts it over the top for me.
Oh, does it really? Okay.
No, it doesn't. But I definitely prefer the right side that I wrote down: White, Howard, Bell, and Brate for fantasy points. In a super flex, I might feel differently. I might need Trubisky. So it's just one quarterback league. You're losing if you're getting trading for Trubisky, in my opinion.
All right,
and we're gonna need this guy to reach out to us because I gotta know why f-ing Trubisky is in this trade.
I will send out a message here to FC Wildchild 15.
And, oh, wait, the guy who posted it, Sipes, is trading Kamara away, right? So he's also trading Trubisky and Lindsay away for that haul. So, I think the guy did all right. But, why does somebody want Trubisky?
We will ask him. But I will tell you this. There's 40 minutes left of this trade. This poll's been up for 22 hours, which is weird because it says 43 minutes. But regardless, it has 250 votes. And right now, 67% of the people want the Kamara side.
Well, yeah,
because recency bias.
I know. I mean, one, Kamara is Kamara. He's probably, if he's not the number one running back overall dynasty asset, then he's two behind Barkley. And Lindsay is, the guy, what's there not to like so far from what he's done? I traded Ronald Jones for him. So, whatever.
You did. You traded Ronald Jones straight up for Lindsay?
I saw that.
Yeah, and I didn't think twice.
Well, that's awesome. So, all right, great. I will reach out to Wild Child and ask him to let us know. So that's it, guys.
Actually.
Uh-oh, what?
We got some unfinished business here, bitch.
I was just about to say something about that. What I was going to say.
I apologize for calling you a bitch.
No worries. I'm fine with it. I will say this. The offers that I have on the table with you are actually pretty interesting. And I did get two more offers while we were talking. So what I'm going to do is go over all these offers and everybody. Not from you, Jeremy, but everybody's going to have to stay tuned and wait till next week to see how this plays out. So in the meantime, please check out our Twitter account, which is Dynasty Trades HQ. Send us any polls, questions, anything you want us to retweet and share with people. Also, you can email us at dynastytradeshqpod@gmail.com if you have any questions or anything you want us to answer.
And go become a patron of our Patreon page, because that's where all the cool people hang out. That's where me and Jeremy add written content every couple of days. One of us is on there adding something new, and you get all the fun podcasts, and you get to hang out with us almost.
Yeah, and I try to edit some of this stuff out there for you guys to have that as well. And also, in the meantime, if you want to, check out our site, dynastyfootballfactory.com. We just did a makeover on the site this week, so there's some new features on there, as well as all the podcasts are down on the front page now. So check out all the podcasts. We have a lot of great podcasts that are all specific for certain things that some of you guys want to know about with when it comes to Dynasty Football. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for mentioning us. Oh, also, give us a rate and review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Shane, especially, he would really love it. If you see some of the tweets he sends out to people that aren't rating or reviewing us, it would be nice if you guys did. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Hey, peace out, people.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, cool.